Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Okay, let's go. Big Friday for the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Glad you're with us on whatever station you tune in every day or online. Welcome. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And the opening segment of our show today, as it is every day, is sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. And we're proud to say that. Yeah. It is a great place to cater your next holiday event. They do a wonderful job. But Celebrity Day, we're going to have famed TV and movie star actor Gary Grubbs in the studio here in just a moment. But first, another celebrity in the world of college football is former Southern Miss and North Carolina head coach Larry Fedora. And it's a good friend of ours. We really appreciate all his appearances on the Eagle Hour. And of course, many of you may know that Blake Anderson, obviously named the new head football coach at Southern Miss yesterday, was the offensive coordinator for Coach Fedora, both in Hattiesburg and when he went to North Carolina. So nobody really knows his skill set and what kind of a man he is any better than our first guest, Larry Fedora. Coach, I got to tell you up front, I threw your name in the hat. I wanted to see you come back, but I got no response from you.
Well, I come back, but only come back to visit. That's it.
Well, we're glad when you do that. Well, nobody knows Blake Anderson better than you. Tell our listeners around the state what kind of man has just taken over the football program, Coach.
Well, he's just a phenomenal person. I mean, he really is. He's been a good friend and a heck of a coach, and he's been through a lot personally. As a man, but his faith has been strong, and that's what's got him through all of it. I just think this thing has kind of come full circle to 2011, which should have probably happened back then. But I'm happy to see it happen. I mean, he's just a heck of a football coach. I mean, and the players are going to love him, and he's gonna win. There's no doubt about it.
What are his biggest skills? His biggest skill set that has made him so successful, Coach?
Well, he started out as an offensive coordinator. You know, that's where he kind of made his mark. And I would say, for Blake, it was being able to adapt to the skill level that he had. You know, he's going to recruit well, but also he's going to take the players that he has, and he's going to do a good job of molding the team and molding what they do offensively, and I'm assuming defensively also, around the skill level that he has.
And, Coach, when he starts to put a staff together, we're not looking at any specific names, but do you think from a background standpoint that there will be some Southern Miss flavor, perhaps, in any of these assistants?
There very well be. I mean, I don't know. I haven't talked to Blake about anything staff-wise, what he's doing, but, I do know there's some really good former Southern Miss players that are out there coaching that Blake is very well aware of, and so I'm sure he'll take all that into his consideration. You know, when you're putting a staff together, there's so many pieces to the puzzle that have to come together to make it work. So, but I'm sure he'll work through all of that.
And when you talk about skill sets, he was a head coach when NIL and transfer portal wasn't as big, and now he's back into the head coaching position where that's all we hear about is the transfer portal and NIL. How will he have to adapt his skill set to the current landscape of college football?
Yeah, I think that probably more so now than ever. I mean, head coaches are going to have to – they have to get out there and they have to, beat the bushes, and they've got to talk to people and they've got to raise money for NIL. I mean, I think it's proven everywhere in the country. If you don't have the players, you're not going to win. I mean, it's pretty simple. If you don't have the players, you're not going to win. It used to be just recruiting. Now it's the NIL's involved, the transfer portal's involved, so there's so many more scenarios that you have to go through to figure it all out.
Coach, did Blake Anderson, when he left you and went to Arkansas State and then on to the second school, did he pretty much take the same offensive scheme that you guys ran at Southern Miss and North Carolina that was so successful? And do you anticipate that Southern Miss fans will see that same type of offense that you brought here when you were here?
Yeah, it's the same system. I mean, that's what he came up in. And so the base is there, and then he'll take it and he'll adjust it, I'm sure, just like he did every year at Arkansas State and every year at Utah State. I'm sure he took that offense and he just molded it around the talent level that he had.
Lots of times coaches get into trouble because I remember when Donnie Duncan came to Iowa State and he said, well, we're going to run the wishbone at Iowa State because he was an assistant at Oklahoma. And people were going, I don't know how you're going to run the wishbone with 265-pound offensive linemen. You know, when Oklahoma was throwing guys that were out there that were 3'10" even back then. So your point is well taken. It's a good coach their team will be more of a reflection of the talent rather than the head coach. The head coach has to adjust to the talent that he has.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I mean, I think any good coach has got. I mean, if your quarterback is a better runner than he is a thrower, you're going to probably run him more than you are going to throw him. I mean, it's just you're still going to throw him, but you're going to do things to take advantage to create problems for the defenses.
Coach, clearly you thought a lot of him. You took him with you, so I know that you must have been pretty happy when you heard that he got that job.
I'm extremely excited for him, his family. I mean, just I know it's something that he's always wanted. He wanted it when we were back there. And unfortunately he didn't get it, you know, at the end of the 2011 season, but it was really good for us at North Carolina because, he was it was a guy that I could trust and knew that was going to do a great job. He would come in and, I didn't have to worry about what we were doing offensively. I knew he was going to install it. He was going to take over. And, I'm really excited for him. I really am. I know it's something that he's always wanted.
No, I don't want to go back and beat any dead horses. That accomplishes nothing. But if Blake Anderson had been hired when you went to UNC, I believe the trajectory of the football program would have continued on the same path that you had at Coach Fedora. Is that a fair statement to say?
Yeah, I mean, there's no way we know, but I would assume with the momentum that we had and the players that we had in place that they would have, it would have continued to have success. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
There were two decisions that people, longtime Southern Miss fans, say the two biggest mistakes ever made in the athletic department. And again, hindsight is always 20/20. One was the decision to let Jeff Bauer go. And the second one, and arguably the number one, was the hire that they made instead of Blake Anderson, that football, I think, would argue that the football program has been paying for ever since.
Well, I would add this. The second one was the worst because when Jeff Bauer was let go, Larry Fedora came in, right? And the trajectory of the program was just fine. I mean, he did a great job here. But when Larry left and they made the decision they made, it went downhill badly. Is that fair, Coach?
Well, I mean, that's fair to say. But, I mean, you know what? You can't – I mean, you learn from those mistakes. And look, Jeremy pulled the trigger and hired Blake. He's trying to make it right again, and he's trying to get things going. I mean, you got Huff came in there and did a heck of a job, and now you got Blake able to continue that momentum. Yeah. But the thing that's different now is Huff brought a bunch of really good players with him.
Right.
Blake's not gonna be able to do that. He's not coming from a program, so he's got to get the NIL situation under control. He's going to have to raise money, and he's going to have to go out, and he's going to have to buy some good players.
Right. Hey, 90 seconds left, Coach. Give us your breakdown of the national playoffs. Two questions. Is it good that that Tulane and James Madison are in the playoffs, and does Alabama deserve to be in the playoff with three losses?
yeah, hey, it just depends on what you want. If you want, you know, a true national champion, I mean, I think that you would have been better off, you know, with Alabama in there. I mean, you've got a couple of games going on in this first round that, you know, I mean, hey, crazier things can happen and anything can happen, but, you know, the talent level, there will be a huge difference in talent level, and, you know, we'll just see if one team can outcoach the other one.
What you're saying is that Ole Miss is going to crush Tulane, right, Coach?
I'm not, you know, hey, I'm not, I'm the worst person picking wins, you know, so I don't even try, you know, I know better. I spent my life betting on 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds, and I don't do it with my pocket, I can assure you.
Right, well, that's probably smart, Coach. Hey, we always appreciate your willingness to come on our show. We just couldn't have thought of a better person to talk to about Blake Anderson than you, Coach, and you're welcome here, obviously, anytime. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you guys, and listen, I'm fired up for Southern Miss, and I'm fired up for Blake Anderson, and I know those players are going to love him, and there's going to be a lot of success coming in the future.
All right, Coach, thanks very much. Coach Larry Fedora, everybody, back on the Eagle Hour, and we're grateful to him for that.
He ought to be running for office the way he dodged that question about Alabama.
Kind of dodged that, didn't he? I think he believes Ole Miss is going to kill Tulane, too. What do you think?
And James Madison probably will go down as well.
All right, we've got a guest coming in the studio that's actually a former player, knows something about college coaching because his son has been involved in Division I college football, and he's the star of movies and TV shows. What can we say? Celebrity Friday on the Eagle Hour. Stay with us.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. I want to thank Larry Fedora for jumping on with us to talk about the hiring of Blake Anderson. Working on it, we're hoping to do the show from the press conference Monday on campus, and hopefully we'll have a confirmation of that before the end of the hour here.
The press conference has been called.
Yes, 1:30 Monday afternoon, yes. All right, Eagle Tire West sponsors this segment of the show, and they invite you to see them for premium Goodyear products, full auto and truck service. They're next to Smith Motor Company on Highway 98 West, family-owned and operated since 1985, Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West. Goodyear Tires, full service, and big Southern Miss supporters, as is. And my next guest knows something about this. Genesis of Hattiesburg, Matt Grubbs, really one of the finest people in the Pine Belt. They are the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Their sedans and SUVs are all available at Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. It's kind of become a Christmas tradition on this show. I continue to tell people from time to time, Gary Grubbs, that you are my neighbor, and they don't believe me. They think you probably live in some mansion in Beverly Hills, and I say no, he lives in Bent Creek. I mean,
thanks for the big compliment, really. And not only that, you see me doing my own yard, don't you?
You do your own yard all the time.
My Hollywood days are over.
I've had a lot of conversations with you while you had the rake in your hand.
That's right.
We thank you for coming in, and we always greatly enjoy our conversations with you. I was picking a little bit and asked you how many Hallmark Christmas movies there are, and you said you didn't know. But you produced one, didn't you?
Well, I was in one. And it was a strange casting situation. There was one called Christmas in Mississippi.
Right.
And one day I get a call from a producer that I'd worked for, and he said, "Where are you?" And I said, "Where are you?" He said, "I'm down in Gulfport." I said, "Well, I'm in Hattiesburg." He said, "You want to do a movie today?" Which never happens. Never happens. You know, you got to read and wait and negotiate. And I said, "Maybe. What's the deal?" I said, "I'm going to Gulfport in about, this was 10 in the morning." I said, "For a class at 7 tonight." He said, "We can shoot you this afternoon. Put a suit on and come on." this kind of stuff never happens.
Right?
So he said, I will send you this. I'll email you the script. So I'm looking at the script, looking at the lines as I'm driving to Gulfport.
In a real suit, safety and, first, right?
Yeah, and a suit. Nobody else has ever done that. And a suit that out of my closet. And I go down there and I do a little film called Christmas in Mississippi. They would shoot me, and they never would shoot the people on the other side. They have to come back and shoot them. So that was the last that one in God Bless a Broken Road. Two Hallmark movies that I did. The last two movies I've done, and I end up doing those movies. You ready for this? Mainly because the language in the movies that I'm offered, I go, I can't do that.
Right.
Yeah, you said that to me one time.
You
had to go to church and live in this community,
yeah.
And you're just not going to be a part of that.
And if you put that stuff on film, it's there forever. Your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren will see it.
And you talk about the Hallmark Channel, Lacey Chabert,
uh-huh.
from Purvis. You know, she does a lot of those Hallmark kind of movies, and for very similar reasons.
Yes,
you
know, yeah.
Pure entertainment. Sappy, but, I mean, you kind of know what you're getting into.
Lord knows they're popular, though, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Why do you think they're so popular with people?
Well, because they're after the market that you and I would watch. They're after the Christian market. They're after, you know, not the hard edge market. And they do sweet little, you know, hometown stories. So they capture that market.
Okay. All right. We asked you to come here and talk about Christmas movies in part. We got some other stuff. Gary's doing some new work that we're going to talk about a little later in the show. Gary Grubb's favorite Christmas movie is...
Yeah. Tell me a couple of Christmas in Mississippi, I guess. Hey,
that's a good answer.
Yeah.
Well, mine is The Bells of St. Mary's.
I don't even know it.
Bing Crosby and
we know how old you are.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no that and he was nominated for Oscars for playing that same character in two successive movies, Going My Way and The Bells of St. Mary's.
Okay.
I'm a Grampus guy, you know, with the mystical creature that invaded the house when they're having the big family Christmas, and it was just got really chaotic, and all the gingerbread men and everybody came alive, and there was one great scene where this funny character in the show is sitting in the kitchen floor, and the chaos has ended, and his wife is going, say something, say something. And he goes, give me a second. I just got my ass kicked by a gingerbread man. So that's
one of those realistic movies,
yeah,
right?
Sounds sound pretty tough. Sounds pretty tough.
How many movies and TV shows?
I've done about 190. But I hadn't done, in the last 10 years, one a year. So
But that's of your own choosing.
Yeah, it's my own choosing.
Yeah, yeah.
And mostly now I write mm-hmm. scripts. And mm-hmm. I had a Dolly Parton's movie made based on my play As the Crow Flies, which opened up here in Jackson, Mississippi, the first time it was ever open.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a movie, and that play now plays in different theaters all over the country.
I see.
As a Crow Flies.
Your favorite film you ever did, the favorite job you ever had.
And while you're thinking of that, have you gotten your Christmas card yet from Tom Hanks?
Well, I got it. You guys don't know what you're talking about. Y'all put me my favorite Christmas movie. Let me think. I'm thinking. I said Christmas in Mississippi, and that's not it.
Die Hard.
Huh?
Die Hard.
That's not a Christmas movie, is it?
No.
Well, while he's pondering that, that's an inside joke about Tom Hanks, because you're not a fan of Tom Hanks.
Well, no.
Okay.
No.
And that's why I was just I didn't want the listeners to go, man, I hate inside jokes.
The greatest story he ever told me, though, was when he was in a trailer with Farrah Fawcett.
Oh, practicing y'all, please, lines. My wife's listening.
That wanted to go over her lines, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
What was that one called? The Burning Bed.
Yeah, that was really a very famous movie.
It was, yes, it was one of the highest, at the time, it was the highest rated television movie in history.
Yeah.
And I was playing a prosecuting attorney, and so I just know she's in it, and I know I'm going to interview her, and that morning, all of a sudden, somebody knocks on the door, and there stands Farrah Fawcett, and she goes, hey, I'm Farrah Fawcett. I said, oh.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Not familiar with your work.
I said, I'm Gary Grubbs. And she said, well, can I come in? And, you know, all the stories about going into the dressing room, you know.
Right.
I said, yeah, I guess so. So she came up, and she wanted to rehearse her lines. She wanted to rehearse her part.
She wanted to be a legitimate, serious actress.
Thank you. And I could hardly think looking at her.
Anyway, well, no, I hear you.
I can understand the most beautiful woman in the world at the time.
Yeah, and she was the one that started all of those, not centerfolds, but all those big
posters.
Posters. She's the poster girl that started that. Yeah. Anyway, worked out fine in that movie, that one. And then what was the other one? There was another one right after that. And I was in the highest-rated miniseries and the highest-rated movie of the week. And Jeffrey McDonald killed his wife. What was that one? Remember that one?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Anyway, I was in the
two, military guy, right?
Right.
Right.
And
right,
I'm trying
right.
to and all of a sudden we've been in LA 5 or 6 years, nobody knew me. I couldn't go to the grocery store, I couldn't go to the post office. Everybody knew me because of the movie of the week and the miniseries.
Well, Gary, when you were at Southern Miss, did you ever run across Chuck Scarborough, the NBC news anchor?
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He was a little ahead of me, but yeah, I don't
know. Okay.
And we do want to point out, for those that may not know, Gary was a wide receiver for the Golden Eagles. And
that's what you want.
Did you play for the Bear?
I played for P.W. Underwood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How would he have adapted to the portal? And
He wouldn't have. He would be just like Saban. He'd walk away from it. I mean, it's so unreasonable. It's so crazy. All this thing with Kiffin, it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And P.W. Underwood would look at one of those scripts that Gary would reject, and those were a lot of the words that P.W. probably used.
Yes.
He didn't ever say a cuss word, did he?
No, P.W. No, never.
Not one.
He was very gentle, wasn't he?
Yes. That's why they call him the Bear. Yes.
All right. The serious question. You're a really well-known guy in your industry. But I got to believe still when you go to the grocery store, still when you're out and put – now, I'm used to seeing you because I see you work in your yard every day. But the people, they must still come up to you and ask you 1,000 questions about your career.
It is amazing to me how many people know me just on sight. And a lot of people come up to me and go, hey, man, wait a minute. I know you from somewhere. And they know me, but they don't know where. I said, I don't know. I think we're in prison together.
Yeah, that's what I always say, too. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I think we're in prison together. They go, no, I know you from somewhere. And if I got time, I'll talk to him. If I don't, I go, I have no idea. And then a lot of times I go, okay, here's what we're going to do. I got to run, but you take a photo of us together. Cell phone saved my life. And then you keep it, and you listen to me talk. And then see if you can figure out where I'm from. They'll see me 6 weeks later and go, saw you on television.
Yeah. I think what amazes most people, and I've had the chance to talk to Parker Posey from Laurel and do interviews, but people in Gary's industry, I think what amazes most people is that they're literally there to do a job. They don't know half the time. The other actors don't necessarily care about who the other actors are.
Right.
You go in, you do your job, you go home. You don't necessarily go to lunch with them. You're not hanging out with them every day for 6 months. A lot of times you don't know who these other people are.
Yeah, and people, once they see you, they think you're big buddies.
Right.
And every now and then you'll make a friend with somebody on there. And I stay in touch with Wayne Knight. He and I did JFK together, and then he did Seinfeld.
Right.
The big guy.
He was Newman.
And then so there are people that you connect with and stay in contact with, and others, and most of them you don't. And I'll tell you the sad story now. I'll turn on the television. Got to go?
30 seconds.
I turn on the television, and you see somebody, and I work with them. Let me check them out. Oh, they're deceased.
Yeah, I'm beginning to experience that myself.
Yeah.
Hey, we got Gary Grubbs in the studio. He's got some current stuff that he's doing. We want to talk about that.
All right.
Come back. Gary Grubbs, Super Talk Eagle Hour.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody, welcome back. DBAT sponsoring this segment of the show. Great place for some Christmas shopping. Gift cards down in the pro shop. Gift cards for upcoming use of their batting facilities, their cages, all of that. Ask for Luke Reynolds, and we thank you. You'll find some great gift ideas at DBAT on Hardy Street. MCS Home Center for home repair, home remodeling, home construction, everything you need for your next project, home, lawn, or garden. They've got it at MCS Home Center in Bellevue. MCS is Hattiesburg's new improvement home center with local folks eager to help you. 7329 Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. We've got actor, writer, producer Gary Grubbs in the studio with us, and former Golden Eagle wide receiver along with Neville Barr. And, man, you guys were – y'all were like a fearsome duo back in the day, right?
Yeah, well, we had to be because we were playing for P.W. Underwood, and he wasn't too interested in throwing the ball. So we were working all summer long, working out to be, you know, be good receivers and whatever. And then we got beat, I forget how much, 36 points and threw seven passes. I thought, uh-oh, we're in trouble. Of course, I had either the nerve or the stupidity to tell P.W. we need to throw the ball more.
Did you do that?
Yeah, I did. It wasn't a wise decision.
I imagine not.
He gave me a pretty hard time from then on.
Back when college wide receivers were 145 pounds, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, back in those days, Gary, where would you guys, where were the hot spots in Hattiesburg? Where would you guys hang out?
Oh, my Lord, let's see. I was hanging out with my girlfriend who turned into be my wife, so I was never out with the guys. You know, we would go to Shoney's is where we'd hang out.
Right there on 49?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right. So we didn't go to the bars like some of those guys do. A lot of those football players.
Where would they hang out? Would they, in the stories that you remember?
Yeah, what's the name of that one south of town? The something Eagle, the... Oh, down there on the right.
Yeah, I know the same place you're talking.
You know the location.
Yeah, I'll come up with it, too. Yeah. I'll come up with it. But, yeah, I imagine that was a – and that was kind of a music venue, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I can't come up.
The Stone Toad?
The Stone Toad. That's exactly what
it
was.
That's it. Stone Toad. That's a good name for a bar, isn't it?
Yeah. Bob, you hung out at the Stone Toad?
I've never heard of it. Well,
Tal's Dart Bar was another place, I think. Probably.
Yeah. And what, the townhouse downtown?
Okay.
Is that what it was?
It was kind of on the right as you're getting toward downtown.
I don't know for a guy that didn't go to bars, he seems to know a lot about them, I can always say.
Well, I think it was you that said Stone Town.
Yeah. Well, maybe you're right about that. What a great career you had. What made you come back to Hattiesburg, Gary?
Actually, my children. We'd gotten to the place where some of the movies, I couldn't do most of the parts because of the language. And my son was going into high school. He had a bad high school situation where he had to go to high school. And we had moved three times getting him in the right school out there. And then my daughter got a scholarship to Southern Miss. And she had straight A's. She's a really smart lady. And so she got a full scholarship. And he had been down here. And I said, what about us moving back to Mississippi, Logan? He said, I'd love that. So my son wanted to do it. My daughter wanted to do it. And I wasn't quite ready, but I just turned 50, and I said, what the heck, let's go home. And it worked out pretty well for about 10 years because of all the stuff in New Orleans. I continued to work because of the New Orleans stuff, so that got us back here.
And a lot of that was because the state of Louisiana, Gary, didn't they make a concentrated effort to give tax breaks to filmmakers and so on?
They gave the best tax breaks, and they had great locations.
Yeah.
And those people in L.A. go, let's go to New Orleans to make a movie.
You probably, a lot of folks listening probably would not believe the number of movies that have been done in New Orleans, Natchitoches, Baton Rouge, all those areas of Louisiana.
All the way over to Lafayette and what's that other one over there?
Lake Charles,
Lafayette. Yeah. Report.
Is there a lot of movie and TV production taking place in Mississippi now, Gary?
Well, not only is there not a lot in Mississippi, there's not a lot in the U.S.
Really?
Yeah. Netflix and Prime and are going overseas all the time, going to Canada all the time. They don't have to use union labor. Hmm. And so if you see New York City, you're actually looking at Toronto.
Is that right?
See what I mean? They shoot it in Canada. If you see L.A., it's actually Vancouver. So they just go out of country to shoot, and it's a real problem for our actors. It's a problem in my acting class because they can't get as much work as they used to, so they don't come as class as much as they used to.
And you are teaching acting classes. Now tell us about that and what else you're doing.
Well, I'm teaching those acting classes because, you know, it started in New Orleans. A lot of people here needed classes, and so I bring in scenes from my scripts and scenes from movies I did, and we just do scenes in class and get them ready to audition. So that's worked well. And at first it was New Orleans. No, at first it was Memphis. Then it was New Orleans. And now it's Mobile and Gulfport every other Wednesday.
Now, is that through an organized educational facility?
It's through my email account.
Okay. All right. So it's not like a university that's brought you in as a guest professor or anything like that.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Right. And you are writing scripts. So let us know about that.
Well, actually, the craziest thing is I wrote a script when Glenn and I decided to go to L.A. She had been doing, my wife had been doing musicals and operas and plays, and so she was going to try to be an actress. And I don't know why I thought I could be a writer, but I had seen a billboard on Hardy Street that said, dial F-O-R-H-E-L-P, for help, if you have a problem. And I thought, what is that? Well, you soon learn if you have a mental, physical, emotional, some kind of problem, you dial that number. And they'll talk to you and help you get it's like a at-large 911 number. So they would help you get help. And in this movie that I wrote, the lady who started the for help line and kept it going was a Christian lady. So she hired Christians to answer the phone, and people would call in. They'd get them help, but they would also talk to them about their Christianity, about their salvation. You know what I mean? Invite them to church. So that's what the movie was about. And it was called For Help. Now I got one now called Bed Bugs.
That kind of sounds like Kelly, something he could have been involved in.
Yeah. No, bed bugs is, they start out the size of a gnat, and then they become the size of a watermelon seed, and the size of a roach, and the size of a rodent. Pretty soon you have to nuke the whole city of San Diego down on that peninsula. They're going to take over the whole country. Now, with my weird sense of humor, you would think that's a horror movie, but it's a comedy. Bed bugs, the comedy.
Well, I was going to say, for those of us in Mississippi, you wouldn't take the bed bugs to nuke San Diego. Let's just do it anyway. Anywhere in California, you know.
So I got that one. I got the prophet, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, the prophet motive. You ready? It's the second coming of Christ as a comedy.
Wow. There we go. Yeah.
It would have to be a comedy because the real thing would probably be pretty depressing.
Yeah.
So you stay very active and you enjoy the writing part.
Oh, I enjoy the writing. I mean, it gives you something to do every day, and I write scenes for class. And
But when you're doing a screenplay, Gary, as opposed to a stage play, how does your writing style change?
In the screenplay, you try to make everything visual. If you can say it, I mean, if you can show it and not say it, you do. In a play, you say everything, you don't show anything. You see, but with a camera, you can show everything. You can have a guy talk about how honest he is and that he would do anything for you, and then as he walks out the door, he smiles and goes, shakes his head no, and you think he just lied the whole time. So what he said didn't count, only what he did. So screenplays are visual. And stage plays are verbal.
Is it? I've heard it said by different actors when they give an opinion on this that in their opinion, generally speaking, stage actors, craft wise, are better actors than film actors. Agree? Disagree?
No.
Don't agree?
No, I don't agree.
Okay.
Because I do both, and most everybody's done both. And back in the day, the stage, you have more to say. You have more to chew on, more to bite on if you're an actor and on stage. In a screenplay, you can just scan your eyes to the left and go, oh, he's lying. See what I mean? So as an actor, you feel more involved on stage than you do on film. And you can have a live audience. See, that makes it more alive for you.
Why do most actors consider TV kind of being the redheaded stepchild, so to speak? The TV actors don't get the credit that a lot of film and stage actors get.
Well, and that is not as much as it was.
Okay.
Because now more and more people, now you see Harrison Ford on a television series.
Right.
You know, and
right.
stuff like that. You used to never see that.
Right.
But it doesn't matter as much. Streaming changed all that. But for years, back a few years ago, that was it. The screen actors were better.
Yeah.
You know, they made more money. And I don't know if that was true or not. But and then some people would become a well-known television actor, and then the film people would hire them because they would bring seats into the, you know, bring people to the theater. So it's all about money every time, every decision.
We've talked about that on this show, even in college athletics. It's all about money.
Yeah.
Everything's about money. Hey, man, we're always really grateful for you coming in. 2026, are you going to hire a yard man?
Yeah, my neighbor.
His name's Bob, right?
Yeah, he's going to finally come by and stop.
Instead of just wave.
Get out of the car, right?
Yeah.
And actually help, right?
Right.
Hey, Gary, the last play that you talked about that has opened in Mississippi. Any other productions around the area are going to feature your work?
No, I hadn't done a play in a long time. I went to screenplays, and I started writing As a Crow Flies. And as I began to write it, I realized it was a family inside a house. It wasn't a stage. I mean, it wasn't a screenplay. It was a stage play.
Gotcha.
We were talking.
Gotcha.
Thank you, Gary, very much.
You're very welcome.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thank
and your,
you. Appreciate
your
it. Appreciate it.
Gary Grubbs, everybody, on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We'll be back, wrap up this week's show right after this.
All right, so.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, we thank you for listening every day. Remind you about our podcast. That's where thousands of you find us throughout the day, and we're grateful to you for that. It continues to upload every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or YouTube. You can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Want to wish Merry Christmas, too, to our friends down at Mobay Beignet Company. It'd be a great weekend to stop in and get some delicious beignets and some hot coffees. If you're out Christmas shopping, be sure to tell Morgan the guys at Eagle Hour said hello. We asked Gary to stay over for the last segment. It was brought to our attention. You know Blake Anderson. And so your thoughts about Blake getting the job, Gary?
Well, when he first came here, like a lot of people, he recognized me from being an actor. So he starts talking to me, and I start talking to him about the his job with Fedora and what they were going to do and what they were going to run and so on. So I got a little inside with that, and I enjoyed talking to him, keeping up with him, and we'd have those Eagle meetings or whatever, and then I'd come talk to him afterwards. So he knows me, knows my name. Mm-hmm. I saw him the other day, and so I'm glad they picked him up. I think they did a great job. I don't know how they would have gone out and got any better.
Well, I agree, and everybody that does know him personally says he's a really good human being,
right?
A good man.
Yes, he certainly is.
Yeah,
he has, as I know him. Yes,
and if you peel back the onion of Blake Anderson, you'll find out as a human being, and man, he has had to deal with some stuff.
He's had some real tragedy.
Yes,
in his life.
He did. Yes.
And the fact that he's weathered that. You know, what doesn't kill you is going to make you better.
Right.
And I can't help but think that life experience and what he's been through and how he's dealt with it can only help make our players better human beings.
Yeah, I hope so. I think so. I think that's right.
And it, you know, the university, though, Bob, their timing, I'm joking when I say this, but their timing couldn't have been worse if they would have just broke it yesterday at 1:50 instead of 2:05.
Gary, our show runs from 1 to 2 o'clock, and they broke the news at 2:02 p.m. That tells you we're high on their priority list, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it wasn't surprising news. We've talked about that.
We pretty much knew that who was it. And I think it's the logical hire. And I think he'll fit in well in the community. And you say you see him in the community.
Yeah, I see him out
and
about.
He seems comfortable here, doesn't he?
Yeah, and I don't know how. I mean, he's a coach with a winning, you know, like he took his team to like 8 or 9 bowl games, and he's got a coach with a winning record. And Southern Miss has a hard time finding and hiring that. So, and he's already here, and he knows the players, so we'll get to keep some players that would go.
I think that's right.
Yeah, yeah, so that's good.
You know, back in your day when you were playing football, you could have dealt into this NIL and all that money. As a former player, do you get a little jealous when you see these guys?
No, I don't feel sorry for them, but it's a mess. I don't, you know, it's when the player's making more than the coach, he doesn't listen too well.
That's exactly correct.
Right.
As if 18 to 21-year-olds listen very well to begin with.
Right.
Right?
And then, you know, they're making $1 million a year and the coach is making $400,000, you think. I don't know. I don't know how they deal with that. But
well, the people who have complained about this, I use this analogy. You know, the parents who have their 40-year-old son living in the basement and do nothing but complain about it, it's the same thing. The NCAA has let this get out of hand, and now they're complaining about it. Well, you created this monster.
Oh, no question.
And you're the only ones that can do anything about it. So what are the solutions?
Okay, so did you hear how it all started?
I'm ready.
Now, here's a story I heard. One guy, I don't know which team he was on, is a quarterback. And that team never had a very good team. They come along, this quarterback leads this team, and all of a sudden, that school is getting better attendance. They're getting on TV. They win their conference. And this one guy, it all based on this one guy. And this one guy's daddy's a lawyer. And he says he's making this university and you coaches more money than you ever, and you're going to have to pay him. And he filed a lawsuit. And he filed a lawsuit for his son to get paid. And that started it because the NCAA lost in court. And so It just went from one to the other to the next to all over the country. And that's how it got started.
And now it's just spiraled. I think we can all agree, completely out of control.
It's out of control.
Out of control.
Yeah.
And when the and we mentioned it on the show, when the Ohio High School Activities Association has now ruled that high school kids can be paid.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
They're the first state to do it, and you watch this dominate, which is natural. I mean, we said this is going to trickle down from the NFL to colleges, and now Ohio is the only state to say that it's okay at this point. But I'm sure other states will follow suit.
So a kid's a junior at one school, and he's a good quarterback, and another school says, we want you, we're going to pay you $1,000 to come over to our school?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I mean, again, it's...
Purvis is in trouble, aren't they?
Purvis, yeah, until they get that big oil company to come to town, they are in big trouble.
This is bad news for the tornadoes.
Yeah, even,
I'm sorry, Purvis. I was just using...
No, even worse example. News for Lumberton, you know.
We better hush.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Gary, you got a big holiday planned with your family?
Well, yes. We're going out to Austin. I got a daughter out there. And she works for Yahoo, and got two grandkids, so we're going to go out and be with them.
Well, I sure appreciate your kindness. You're really a kind guy. People that don't know this man, he's really humble and very, very kind.
But how do we know he's not acting?
Because I'm handsome but humble.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Gary, all right, guys, I'm out of here.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend, everybody. Thanks for listening. Southern Miss.
To the top.
To the top.
Slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.